You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. Really good to see you. Hope you're doing good. Hope you're doing well. I hope you were greeted well at the door this morning. You were. That's terrific. Because I had a little discussion with one of our greeters today. It was a good discussion. But you know, I said, okay, we're just going to do a little scenario where I'm going to pretend to be here for the first time, and I'm going to see how you're doing with this. So I went outside, and I came walking in, and I put out my hand, and he just looked at me, and he said, what are you doing here? And I said, good, I think you got it. That's great. That's carry on. Carry on. And then he kind of chuckled a little bit. I don't know if I'm getting this verbatim, but then the next thing was, what church did you run away from? And I said, friend, the only person you're allowed to say that to would be Pastor Mark if he comes here on a Sunday morning. So, bless you, brother. Oh, yeah. Hey, we got to have a little bit of hee-haw once in a while, right? You see, sometimes our worship leaders, singers, speakers come up here with a little bit of water. I do that not only because it's kind of cool, you know, to have your own mug or a bottle of water, because people carry them everywhere. It's kind of cool for the speaker to pause and you know, actually, the only reason I do that is because my throat gets a little dried out and I need some water. Do you know what would happen if you stopped drinking water? Eventually. I'm talking about in the next, like, 48 hours or something. Jeepers, you want to go from now to death right away. My goodness. Yeah, you eventually die. But there's other things that take place in the interim leading up to that, right? Your body doesn't work as good. It just doesn't work as good. We're told that our joints get really sore and stiff if we're not drinking enough water. You know, you can't digest your food properly if you're not having an intake of water. So nutrients don't get passed through the system if you're not taking in water appropriately. And on and on and on. But you know, we go through times in life where we don't want to bother with drinking a little more water. Especially if we're sick or something, or if we're injured and we're kind of confined to our bed. And it's maybe inconvenient or painful to get up every so many hours and go to the bathroom. So sometimes people are tempted to drink less and less and less, just so that they can avoid the inconvenience of going to the washroom. Well, that creates other problems, and it exacerbates the healing process that God has placed within our bodies, so we have to take more water. We need water. I need water. You need water. And we're going to talk a little bit about water this morning. Not so much water, but we're going to talk about wineskins. In Luke chapter 5, if you go to verse 33 and forward, the first few verses here, 33, just discusses a little bit of the backdrop of what led up to Jesus talking about wineskins. So Luke 5, beginning in verse 33, one day some people said to Jesus, John the Baptist's disciples fast and pray regularly. It's kind of like taking in water regularly. They were doing some specific things regularly. You might even say religiously, with purpose. And so do the disciples of the Pharisees. Why are your disciples always eating and drinking? So Jesus responded, do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. And then he goes into the illustration. of the wineskins. But even in that first situation, that question, we've always done things this way. Why do you and your disciples do things a different way? And you see that all throughout the life of Jesus, the 3.5 years of ministry that he had, he went countercultural. He went against the flow, not only of the society that was imposing rule on them, the Romans, he was also going against much of the drive that the religious elite of that day had the people going in. Because he knew that he had come to earth to establish God's kingdom in an amazing way and to reveal the Father, the Father's heart, and eventually to have the Holy Spirit released upon followers of Jesus. He had to do things differently. He had to fight the existing culture in order to establish a new culture, a kingdom culture. Culture is culture. It's the way we do things, sometimes the way we've always done things, but it's the ways and means by which we as a society work through life. There are cultures within cultures within cultures. There are cultures within Medicine Hat. There's numerous cultures within Medicine Hat. Then you bring in ethnic cultures. I grew up more from a Germanic culture, so there were elements of German thinking and thought and their homeland culture with them. And then we meet together in a place like this. We bring that all together, and we're trying to live within a Christ-like culture. Jesus was developing with his disciples a kingdom of heaven culture that would override the other cultures as he was teaching them what was the most important thing in life. And we as believers in Jesus are in the midst of a greater culture around us. Some of it is governed by politicians, some of it is governed by leaders within cities and towns and provinces, some of it is governed by the school systems, the colleges, some of it is governed by all kinds of other people and so forth. So, in answering the question of some of the disciples of John the Baptist, Jesus came up with this illustration. He says, "No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined, and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. Tried it once. This proved to be true. I was maybe 15 or 16 years old. My favorite pair of jeans, those were days when it wasn't quite yet cool to walk around with holes in your clothing. But my favorite and most comfortable pair of jeans was wearing thin in some spots. So I got creative. I bored a needle and thread from my mother, and I had some really cool patches of leather. Nice, supple, soft leather. And I cut them to just the right size, and I sewed them in there by hand. I even had some of my friends, because there was an interchurch youth choir going on at that time, and I wore these jeans one time to that one of the practices. I had some of the guys, and especially some of the girls, coming to me and saying, that is so cool. That is so cool, your jeans. Where did you get those? Little did they know. But then the first time I put them in the wash, it wasn't so bad. The second time, of course, that leather really starts to shrink when it goes through the dryer. Yeah, couldn't wear them after a while because they just pulled apart, right? No one does this. For the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. The new wine must be stored in new wineskins or renewed wineskins. Apparently, they would take wineskins through a process. Quite a process to renew. New wine must be stored in new wineskins, but no one who drinks the old wine seems to want the new wine. The old is just fine, they say. Wineskins. I'm going to suggest to you that we are all wineskins. We all carry something within us. We carry the presence of God within us, the Holy Spirit. We carry Him within us. And through the reading of the Word and fellowship with the Holy Spirit and fellowship with one another, God's design has been for His people that we remain supple, that we remain pliable, and that we, in fact, are so supple and pliable and receptive and listening and attentive to what He is telling us day by day through His Word and by the Spirit, day by day, moment by moment, that we go with what the Spirit is teaching us and telling us. And there have been numerous movements of God over the last number of generations. But what's happened so often is a movement of God will come and it will peak and there will be excitement and thrill, but then it becomes sort of normalized. And then that excitement tends to begin to wane, because now we're extremely familiar. And you know what happens, people say that familiarity breeds contempt. That we don't even necessarily care anymore that something great happened over here. Or we try to institutionalize, memorialize what happened in a great move of God. And so we endeavor to replicate that the same way over and over and over again. And we say that is our norm. In fact, that's how probably most denominations over the last couple of hundred years or so have functioned. A great move of God would take place in a certain place in the world, and that group of people that experienced that, God would sometimes use those people to move His presence forward. But the leaders would sometimes say, well, this is great the way it is. Let's memorialize this and let's keep this. Let's keep this going. This is going to be our identity from here on in. And so you know what has taken place. Within denominations over the years, we do this all the time too. We put together statements of faith, which is good, but then sometimes we become very limiting. We want to put definition to what happened in this era so that we carry this forward. But what happens, I don't know if any of you have surfed. I've never surfed. I don't know if Janae has surfed, but Brady, have you surfed? Badly. Badly. You're a bad surfer. Janae, you're a bad surfer. Nathan has surfed. Are you a good surfer? No. Okay. Well, some people have surfed. Anybody else here surf? Any good surfers here? New Zealand man. You've surfed. I've picked on you before. I won't hold your hand today, okay? Like a few weeks ago. That was just a little weird. But anyways, when you are riding a wave, what do you do to keep yourself up on that wave? Pray? Pray yourself to death. Here we go. No, the dots are connecting really well this morning. So, you balance. Okay. Pumping the board right in the face of the wave. Okay. So how long does that last? Okay, so from a few seconds to a couple of minutes, you're riding that wave. You can only ride that wave for so long, and then what happens? The wave dies down. Right. Those that probably wouldn't know anything about surfing, and they're riding that nice wave, they've got a good thing going, and they want to keep that going as long as they can. But eventually, it's like they sink or they hit the sand, you know? And then they have to go out and look for another wave. The trouble is, in our society, in churches sometimes, the Holy Spirit is doing an amazing thing. And we get up on that wave. God's doing a new thing. And by the way, newness is a good thing. The Scripture says that there are new mercies every day, every morning, new ones, because yesterday's expired. So there's got to be new ones. And so the trouble is we get up on that wave and we want to ride it as long as we can. But some of us aren't willing to admit that that wave has now hit the shore and it's time to paddle out and find another wave and experience the ride again. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit was doing in freshness and newness 120 years ago may or may not be the exact same thing that he wants to do in this location with this people today. It may include that, but guaranteed when the Holy Spirit does something in the world, it's fresh and it's new. We want to keep what we experienced yesterday going and going and going and going. But often we haven't realized that it's going, but it's not that anymore. It's our own effort. It's our own humanistic tendency to try and keep something alive that the Holy Spirit has said, no, that's past. I've got something fresh and new and exciting for you now. We are always in transition in our faith, just like our bodies are always in transition and need the fresh water every day, several times a day. Our bodies are growing. Cells are changing all the time. There's always freshness, always newness. Even up until the day we die, our hair is still growing, if we still have some. And our fingernails and toenails, everything's still growing. And so we need to keep putting that fresh water, fresh food, constantly, constantly. I've spoken with two people over the last, let's say, month and a half. One fairly recently and one from another town over the last month and a half, describing some of their experiences. One person was one of the leaders in the church, not the pastor. And another one is a church leader, a pastor. And both of them came to experiences where they were part of trying to bring freshness and newness into the church that had grown very stale. And in the one situation, there was a young couple that started attending this particular church. And they had such a passion for youth and young adults. They began working with the youth and the kids in the community. And so Wednesday nights, I think it was Wednesday nights, they had a regular gathering of young people and kids in the community. They were up to 50 and 60 kids in this community. The trouble with the people that were existing in the church was that they started showing up in church too. And it started to change things. It made them uncomfortable. So those whose wineskins had grown so hard and withered made it impossible for the younger generation to exist within that particular wineskin. They made it so rough on that young couple that that young couple said, we can't do this anymore. We're pouring ourselves out for these kids, and you don't want them in the church. So they left the church, and it died down. And those that wanted things to exist as they were, they felt good again. Because it was business as usual. Another pastor of a church that I spoke with recently had much the same story to tell. And the man basically had tears welling in his eyes. He said, I have tried almost everything with my church to get them to see that if we do not make significant changes, within the next few short years, this church will no longer exist. It will die. And unfortunately, the leaders in that church simply say, we just don't want things to change. We're not changing. This is how it is. This is how we've always done it. This is how it's always going to be. And they're well on the road to death. And that's a very sad thing. When the Holy Spirit wants to do something, whether it's in your life or mine as individuals, when He wants to pour out His Spirit into our lives for His purposes and for His glory, He wants to make sure that our hearts are supple and pliable, so that when He's going to do something new, produce something new in us, it's not coming into a life that is rigid and stuck, because it will rip us apart and the goodness of God will be drained out and lost. When the Holy Spirit wants to do a new work within a congregation, He desires that we all are in the process of remaining supple and pliable before Him and in His hands, so that He can take people of God and move and work amongst us and in us and through us in order to be a great blessing, not just to us, but to those around us. And that would be a great thing. That'd be a great thing. God is doing a lot of new things in our community. We've talked a lot about the mustard seed, and I'm really happy to see Barry Knodel here this morning. What I introduce, I didn't know you were going to be here today. But you didn't know either. No. But Barry Knodel is, now I'm not sure if I'm going to get your title correct. I'm going to say managing director of the mustard seed here in Medicine Hat. Barry is a local businessman and got a great reputation in the community, understands a lot of things going on in the community, has a great heart for people. And so you're here this morning. And so welcome here, Barry. And this is a man we need to get to know. And I'm supposing that this is your good wife. Marlene, your much better half. Yes. Awesome. Welcome here. It's so good to see you folks. Yeah, and part of the partnership that we've been experiencing a little bit at a time here is I picture it as new wine being poured into our community through existing agencies working together to cooperate together. Barry, you were on the board of the Champion Center for some time, 6 years. And you saw possibilities, you saw how things could be. And with our Oasis Cafe only meeting one day or one morning a week, we saw possibilities, we saw all kinds of things, but we knew that we couldn't do it as we were. The things had to change. We didn't know what that looked like. We had no clue. Lo and behold, The mustard seed makes contact, and things flowed from there. And I just want to say thank you to us as a congregation for being pliable and willing to explore this and be part of this transition that is taking place. It's not over yet. It's just beginning, and so we will have yet things to adjust to. But that's exciting, because we know that things are going to change in this community more and more and more. That the kingdom of God will have more and more room to expand and grow through the hearts and minds of people whose hearts and minds are pliable in the hands and the heart of God. Amen. So that's a very needful thing. We're going to watch a video clip right away here. And this is a clip from Dutch Sheets. And he's going to tell us a little bit about wineskins. He's talking to a particular church who has been going through transition. And I think that's apt for us today. Let's just give this a listen, if we're all queued up. And here
so
we go.
If you're going to remodel your home,
maybe we can turn the lights off for a few minutes, too.
There's going to be chaos and disorder, but it's not a bad disorder. It's just the disorder associated with change. You're going to have furniture moved. You're going to have dust here. You may have a wall knocked out. But it's not a bad thing. It's just what has to happen for the change to take place. And God said, so you're going to go through a season of transition, and I'm going to shove you through it. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to be a little frustrating. But it's okay. And as long as you know God's in the process, you can deal with that. But he said, I need to get you through that 11 change, even though it's going to be a little frustrating and difficult. I need to get you through that so I can take you to 12, which is the number of kingdom, government, or authority. So he was saying to me, I want to take you to another level of authority. But the only way I can do that is to put you through this transition, which will be a little uncomfortable. I'll shove you through. You're going to have to do a 180 in some ways. But if you allow me to do this, you're going to come up to a higher place of authority. Of course, you don't have to be brilliant to know you can't get to 12 unless you go through 11. So this has been your 11 year. And it hasn't been easy. It's felt like it's a bit chaotic at times. Like disorder has come. But the Lord is saying that the end result will be 12, a higher level of kingdom authority and influence. And the reason it's not finished is, you know, we want transitions to just happen quickly. Sometimes certain things do change very quickly, but what he wants that to do in us is not always quick. It's a process. And I heard the phrase today as I was sitting there in worship, a wineskin in transition. That's the phrase I heard. A wineskin in transition. Of course, probably in this house, I can't imagine if you've been here any time at all that you don't know the concept of the wineskin. And the old wineskin, new wineskin. You know, the wineskins, when they were emptied, would sit and get dry and hard and certain forms and shapes. And you couldn't use them for another process of fermenting juice into wine because of the pressure and the expansion. You couldn't do that until you first renewed the wineskin. and got it soft again. So they would soak it in water for days and days and days and days, and then they would take it out of the water, and then they would rub it with oil, all very symbolic, of course, Holy Spirit, the oil and the water. And then when the wineskin was soft and pliable again and could handle the pressure of the fermentation process, then they could use it again. So in my life, there have been several seasons where God had to renew the wineskin. That doesn't mean you went through a season where you backslid or were not. It could be, but that's not necessarily the case. It means the last season, what God did with the wineskin is up, and now he's going to do some work on it to get it ready for the next season of using the wineskin. And if you don't go through that process, I hate the word process, don't you? I just hate it. But if you don't go the word through the process, you can't use the wineskin again. Because it could handle last season's wine, but it can't handle the next season's wine. And so that's why, you know, it's associated with tradition. And the Pharisees, he said, you know, God can't put new wine in you because you're stuck in the old. You've hardened into these traditions and forms. And if he tried to put new wine in you, it would break you, and he would lose the skin and the wine. So he loves you enough to just leave you alone in your religious ways and not destroy you with the new wine. So there are Christians all over the world, all over this nation, certainly, who can't handle the new wine. They're stuck, they're firm, they're hardened in the yesterday's mold form, and they can't handle the new. They're not flexible enough. They're not soft and pliable enough. I can promise you, you're a lot softer. You're a lot more pliable than you were a year ago. You can't go through transitions of this nature successfully unless you become soft and pliable. And he uses that to get us ready for the next level. I went through a season, this is probably 20 years ago. My book, Intercessory Prayer, did just come out. And if you haven't read it, you'd probably never fully be all God wants you to be if you don't read some of my books. I'm just kidding, okay? Lighten up, I'm just kidding. But, you know, and I was moving forward in God. There was a lot of success. Success can be so dangerous. It'll test you more than hard times will. And I had become successful and was doing pretty well. And I don't really know what happened. I wasn't in a bad, bad place with the Lord. I was still in a pretty good place. But still, I heard him say to me, "You are well on your way to becoming a wise old wineskin." I'd never heard the phrase, wise old wineskin. I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, today's wisdom is yesterday's revelation. So what you learned and received yesterday that was revealed to you by the Spirit from Scripture, God, is processed in time and becomes wisdom. And you can have a lot of wisdom but not have current revelation. Because you always have to stay in a place where you're hearing from God in a fresh, current way. And that's what it means to be a new wineskin. An old wineskin person is not, it has nothing to do with age. It's a person that can't receive the new. See? Doesn't mean they're not saved. It means they're stuck and they're hardened in something from yesterday and they can't receive the new. They may be wise. I know some really wise old wineskins. They're really wise in certain ways, but they have no fresh revelation. They're stuck in yesterday's move of God, yesterday's revival, yesterday's revelation. They're stuck in it. They can't move on. And I started observing when he said this to me, I started, you know, have friends and fathers in the faith, and I could see, I thought of them as people of great wisdom, but I could also see they're stuck in yesterday. They're not able to receive the new. And he said to me, if you don't get yourself back into a place of pressing into me for what I want to say to you now, not what I gave you 10 years ago, you start riding the wave of that success instead of pressing into me today, you're going to become a wise old wineskin. And I went into a season of immersing myself in the water of the word and worship, got in the oil of the Spirit so that he could soften me again and I could begin to hear again and receive the fresh. So I heard the Lord say, this is a wineskin in process. Now, that does not, that if you're stuck in yesterday and you don't come out of it, you're an old wineskin. The fact that you need to be renewed and refreshed as a wineskin does not mean you're an old wineskin. All wineskins had to go through the renewing process. You do see that, don't you? So when the Lord says you're a wineskin in transition and he's renewing some things, that doesn't mean you were stuck in religion or you were bad. It means all wineskins did that. Some accept the renewing and can move into the new.
Could we have the lights, please? Does that resonate with anybody? Yeah. Sure does with me. Wow. Pretty powerful. And these are days where we need renewal. You know, our society needs renewal. It needs a presence of Christ everywhere. And we get to be the presence of Christ everywhere we go. And so we need to be continually in that process of being renewed. A wineskin that is accepting the renewal process, being immersed in the water and filled with the water for a period of time. That's the Word of God. Immersing ourselves in God's Word, hungering after God through the Word of God, taking that in, being refreshed daily, being in companionship daily, intimately with the presence of the Holy Spirit, hearing, listening, acting, walking in tandem with. Letting his love direct us and flow in and through us on a regular basis. We can all dry up really quickly. I know that there have been times when I've preached messages that worked in other situations, and I reworked them a little bit, and sometimes that's the right thing, and other times it was like I was just allowing myself to get dried out. And that freshness wasn't there. We all need that continual renewing. Revival is a funny thing. It's an amazing thing. You're going to find in the little booklet that Pastor Ken told you not to read during the sermon or the worship. If you want to now, I give you permission. It's about the third page in or so. It's talking about fall campaign 2019. We're going to be spending the next number of weeks examining what revival culture for church life can look like. So I'd like you to read that couple of paragraphs there to prepare yourself for what's coming up. And then the schedule on the next page, week by week, the elements of a revival culture that we're going to be looking at. And we're going to be stirring ourselves up to embracing these elements of revival culture so that we increasingly become more and more and more a culture in church as brothers and sisters in Christ who are experiencing daily revival together and wherever we work and live. So that's something that's coming up. And we're looking forward to spending those times together. And we'll have a variety of speakers all in-house with that. Even as part of this, on the one weekend, we've got a gentleman and his wife that represent one of our missions groups, Bridges for Hope. It's a mission to Israel. And they're going to be coming. I didn't tell you that yet. But they're going to be coming and spending that day with us. We'll have the message, but they're going to unfold a little bit about their ministry, and they're also going to be doing some music and worship from a Hebrew perspective. So they're quite well versed in this, and that'll, I think, be kind of fun for us. Add a little bit of new wine with some Hebraic worship. So there's amazing things coming up. We've got a number of things recurring that have just served us well, and we want to continue that process. And so you'll see those things listed here. And a growing participation with Mustard Seed, and looking forward to getting to know Barry and your far better half, and others that will be coming to serve in Medicine Hat on behalf of the Mustard Seed. Youth group starts up again, really quick. Divorce care starts. Valley Nights. We trust that this is a brand new wineskin for this ministry, and that'll be poured out for the sake of our community and our church family. Life groups. This is going to be very key and significant for us. During this campaign of preaching, we will be also putting together notes and questions that life groups can follow through with for the next few months so that we're all on the same page, examining this life together. Pastor Ken is going to be having A Journey to the Cross, a study on Sunday mornings. And so if you want to get into that, you're going to have to sign up pretty quick because that fills up quickly. There's other things happening here. The Living Free course is coming up in October. Money Matters, I think, is going to be starting again. Was that a... We'll talk about that next week. Sure. Okay. We'll do that next week. Awesome. And the other things that we do, the regular things that happen on a regular basis, we want to be open to God pouring newness into each one of those events so that they're continually life-giving. And as we close this morning, this is what we're going to do. We're going to ask the worship team to just stay where you are, just for time's sake this morning. But those of you who are leading some of those events, and you're also leaders within kids ministries here on Sunday mornings, you teach and lead a class once in a while, those of you who have been confirmed as life group hosts or facilitators, I'm going to ask all of you to stand. Those who are on worship teams, whether you're a leader or you're an instrumentalist or a singer, I'd like you to stand. And Barry and your way better significant half, other half there, I'd like you to stand. This is a start this morning. These are some of leaders in our church and community. We're going to pray over you this morning that as you get back into serving, that you're not just getting back into same old, but that the Holy Spirit will have freedom to just move in and through your life, that you will be renewed wineskins. Okay? And then we're going to also pray, youth leaders, and Also, there are ushers and greeters. Why don't you stand up with us? I'm liking this. What other elements of the church life have I not mentioned? Pardon me? Children's ministry leaders? Sorry? Sound. Sound, folks. And we also have PowerPoint. All of you guys and gals doing sound and PowerPoint, join us in this. And let's see. What am I missing? Guest services. My goodness. Guest services. Board members, yes. By the way, the board has been deliberating. Yeah, board members, please stand. We've been deliberating about different things over the summertime, and we don't have any concrete things yet because we're in process, but we're with the River Park Church now to be leased by the Mustard Seed. As of October 1st, they take over. And so we will not be running our normal ministries out of that building, because when you lease something to someone else, it's theirs, right? And that's a good thing. But that's necessitated us to look at other situations. And so we're currently in talks with the city and someone else regarding properties just back here. And so be in prayer for that. We need space for different things that we know God is bringing our way and has already brought our way, but we need space. And so keep that in mind in prayer. And so some of those things we need to let go of that we used to have. That's part of being renewed as a wineskin. It might be property. It might be other things. If we're going to be new wineskins, it necessitates that we let go sometimes of other things in order to have that freshness come in. So if I'm not missing anyone else, I would like to add, anyone that you feel this morning, you just desire God to do a new work in your life to prepare you for what's coming up. You may be in a situation where you know that there's transition coming, and you know exactly what it is, but you want to be prepared spiritually as well, trust me. Maybe you know there's something coming up, and you just want God to pour his freshness into your life. Or maybe you sense an angst that there's something coming. You don't know what it is. But again, I'm going to tell you, you want to be prepared, to be ready for that newness so that God can pour himself into you. If that's you this morning, you just stand up. And if you just desire a fresh touch with God this morning, for him to do a new work in your life, you just stand. You just stand. I'm standing because I want to stand. I want that freshness. I kind of feel like Peter when Jesus came to wash his feet. At first he denied it, and then he said, oh, if you're really going to have to do this, just, you know, don't stop with my feet. Lord, pour your spirit over every part of me, every part of my being. Let me just pray over you this morning as we close. What a beautiful picture this is. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful picture of Jesus, your bride, right here in this place this morning. We're part of a greater part of the bride here in Medicine Hat. But this is us here today, this morning. And I thank you for every person here today. Every one of us, in days moving forward, as we transition back into ministry mode in the fall, Father, we pray for just a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I pray that you will place in the hearts of everyone standing here such a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. Such a hunger and a thirst to go deeper and deeper with you, Holy Spirit. That we are so open and hungry for you that we say, God, between you and me, there's nothing off limits. I am all in. And boy, did we have some good talks out of camp last week about that. We thank you for that. May we all have that hunger and desire to be all in for you, Lord Jesus. And Father, may you give us a just a desire to be intimate with you more and more and more. May we be like that group in the upper room in the book of Acts. When Jesus says, don't leave, don't launch out on your own until you receive power from on high. May we be like that. That we are regularly spending time in your presence, receiving that power, that initiative, that unction from the Spirit of God and from the Word, that daily we are being moved out in the power of God to minister in such a needful and hurting world. Boy, this world needs a washing of the blood of Jesus. And may we be people who just want to meet people where they're at and minister lavishly to see this community and this city changed. We pray for Barry and his wife and all of those that will be on staff with the Mustard Seed and all the volunteers that will be coming from all kinds of churches and corporations and whatnot across. That is going to transform a huge element of this city, we believe. Father, would you just be with Barry and his wife and fill them with your Spirit, with your presence, afresh and anew. Give them fresh vision, fresh wisdom for leadership. Father, we think of our board members as we think of the needs of this congregation, as the needs of this community, and as we think of the space needs. We pray for downloads from your Spirit about what we can do with the present building here and opportunities, whether it's buying property or doing other things. God, give us courage and fresh wisdom and vision for days ahead. Father, for all those folks standing, we just pray, even now, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, renew us, tenderize us, refresh us, fill us, excite us, build a fire in us, Jesus. Set us on fire, set your church on fire, that we burn brightly, and that we conduct ourselves in such a manner that we're so full of love for you and one another, that the world looks on and says, man, what an odd group. But there's something so inviting. I need that. Jesus, may it be for your honor and for your glory. And together we lift our hearts and our voices to you and say, God, we love you. We love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for esteeming us so much that you would pour out your Son for us. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. And thank you for the power of the resurrection. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in each one of us, he will quicken our mortal bodies. Yes, at the time of going from this life to the next, but also in the here and now to accomplish the things that you desire of your church in these days now. So come and quicken us, Holy Spirit. Fill us with your presence and quicken our minds, quicken our voices, quicken our understanding, quicken our passion for things of God, quicken our bodies to work well that we can serve you well. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.